Thank you for joining us for the 13th in a series of podcasts presented by Smack Gallery, featuring our artists in conversation with writers, collectors, curators, and peers. In this episode, Rosie Mudge and Asher Daniels discuss Mudge's solo booth, Battle Cries on the Dance Floor, at the Investor Cape Town Art Fair. They speak about her use of mainstream music and lyrics in her practice to bring the elitist and exclusionary world of contemporary art into a realm that's more accessible and relatable.
And we're live. Welcome, Asher, to my studio podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Rosie.
Yes, my name is Rosie.
And I'm Asher.
Asher Daniel and yes. Rosie Mudge. We are here today to chat about art and life and whatever comes to mind.
And friendship.
Friendship, a big one. Yeah, definitely. And do you have any housekeeping for today?
Housekeeping.
So I listen to a podcast that I absolutely love. It's called Two Freaks Notice, and they always do housekeeping in the beginning. Ding, ding, ding. So I thought I'd ape them. But I don't actually have any housekeeping because we've never done this before.
What is housekeeping?
They just like say various things that have nothing to do with the topic. That they want to say.
Just get off their chest.
Yeah, like get it off their chest so that they can then get into the real stuff afterwards.
Okay, stunning. Good. I mean, this is also my first time. So.
First time. And also, just for the record, listeners, sorry, we did actually talk before this. So you're not getting the full, like, we're seeing each other for the first time.
We did the housekeeping before we pushed
the
record.
The housekeeping was private. Thank you very much. here we are at my studio. Lies. We might as well be there.
We could be wherever you want us to be, listener.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought to myself, why Asher is like the best person to do this with, because Asher and I have a really, really interesting relationship as far as relationships go. And I thought that the first place to start is like how we met, because it's pretty unusual.
It is. So it's also kind of one of my favorite stories as well. Because we didn't actually meet for a very long time.
No.
We had collaborated. I had collaborated on one of your works when you were still studying at university.
Your fourth year. Yeah.
And
through a friend.
Yes, exactly. A mutual friend had been asked to do this thing and needed some encouragement and said, please, would you do it with me? And I was like, oh, sure, whatever. It sounds right up my alley. Like, I think it was, you did four songs.
Yeah, let me fill you in. It was a video work where, and this was, let me just put down for the record, this was pre-TikTok. I mean, TikTok might have been a thing. It certainly was not a thing here. I barely had a smartphone back then. So yeah. this was earlier days of that kind of boom. And
like Facebook was just kicking off.
Facebook was just a thing. Like, people still liked it.
Yeah. Still used it.
There were no conspiracies.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, I did an artwork where I took various participants, some friends, some complete strangers, and they all produced a kind of music style video, but sort of a webcam kind of aesthetic or phone aesthetic. Of themselves really exploring a song and exploring a theme of a song. And there were four songs per participant, and it was the like the love flirtation song, the like flirty song, and then real like romance song. And I remember the end one was breakup song, breakup song was the third one, and the fourth one was like resolution after breakup, kind of how you're feeling, like have you built your strength back or are you still like smashed to the ground? And breakup was a theme I was using, but it wasn't necessarily only pointing in the direction of actual love. It was all sorts of relationships and sort of exploring relationships through song and through music. So I had a lot of participants doing this thing.
And through our mutual friend, I was asked to participate, not knowing who you were, what I was given this brief, four songs, each with a different theme, and all with the same overarching theme, but, you know, each with breaking down that, you know, hitting the different...
And presenting yourself through these lenses.
In difference, yeah. So each video, you know, I had nothing but the clothes on my back, so there was not, I'll, you know, be honest, there was not much... thought. I'm very much an off the cuff.
As am I.
Yeah, love to do very like, let's go, we're doing it now. I don't have to think too hard. Let's
You're
just
a yes
do
person.
It. Exactly.
As am I.
And
it's pretty hard to find me saying no, actually.
Yeah, true.
That's how I landed up on TV this morning.
And that's how I landed up here.
So yeah, so Asha did these amazing performances, and I did not know Asha, but when I received these files, I was blown away by his energy and his the atmosphere that surrounded him. He was just, you meet people in your life and you do not know them, but you feel such a deep connection to them. And I just think that that's such an interesting thing that happens to us. We somehow we find people with whom we are operating on the same frequency, and it's it's rare and it's commonplace, and that's really interesting. So Asha did this thing for me, and because I'd seen him in the videos so much, we never met before or after that. Those files were given to me not in person.
It may have even been years and when
years,
we probably,
I never met him.
Actually met.
But what happened was I was driving down the street. It was probably Long Street. Let's just say it was. Long Street in Cape Town for our international listeners. It's a has been club street.
Yeah.
That is now
street.
A big party street, very tourist street now. Like who knows what it is now? I haven't been there in years. Yeah. Let's say I was driving down Long Street and I see this guy on the side of the road, and I knew, I was like, that is Asha. And I stopped my car and I waved. I was like, Asha, it's Rosie, waving at him. And yeah, it was hilarious. I think like he might have registered, he might have been super confused, but that was when I was like, I have met Asha.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was also, for me, what was crazy is, like, I completely forgot I had recorded all of those things, right? Because it was quite early on in the year, and I think at the end of the year when you finally exhibited it, I remember going to the graduate exhibition or whatever, and arriving, and people were coming up to me going, oh, I loved you in that. I loved you in that bit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because, you know, like I said, I did it just out of like, okay, let's go.
It was fast.
I didn't think about it. I did those four songs with the space within the space of like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And I was like, here we go. You know,
here they are.
Off.
Yes. In true TikTok style. No, actually, that's what TikTok should be. TikTok's way too rehearsed. Actually, I'm not on TikTok for the record, but I
know
what it is.
It.
I don't know how to use it. I try to go on. I was like, let's save this for another day. And then I never went on again.
I think one of my first early memories of us actually was, must have been like your 30th. When
my 30th. And then you see how strange this is. I was like, gotta have Asher at my 30th birthday.
And I think that was like, you know, we were maybe
barely acquaintances.
And,
but I love him.
And you invited me and we had this raving 80s theme. I came with makeup on and a gorgeous like shoulder padded like ski jacket.
Asher brought the vibe. He brought
it. Was really great. And I think from there, that's when we kind of really connected.
Yeah.
And obviously,
absolutely.
You know,
so connect on the dance floor. And I think that ties really well into my practice and into the way that I operate.
No, if you take it right back to that first thing that I collaborated, the first bit that I collaborated with you on, it had music involved.
Absolutely.
You know, and like, if we're talking about the songs I was using
they were
like
amazing.
Asha's Burn.
Loved
you know,
it.
We went like full
Loved
on pop
Loved it.
You know,
and,
like,
and this is the thing is people can relate so strongly to each other through music and through the use of shared memories with regards to music. You know, like Usher's Burn, it's just of a particular time.
Yeah.
It resonates.
Elicits a certain emotion.
It elicits a certain emotion. Yeah, and
nostalgic.
I actually, I can't do this fact justice because I don't retain information in this way. But I heard that when you listen to music for the first time, i.e. when you're in your teens, and you're kind of hearing things for the first time, different types of music, different whatever, the endorphins that you get from that are like no other. So as you get older, that's one of the reasons why people like to listen to music from a certain period in their life.
Definitely.
Because the
music
endorphins
does...
were actually stronger. And when you re-listen, you get a second kick of endorphins of the strength that maybe you're not getting these days.
Yeah, no, music doesn't slap like it used to in the teens.
No, I know, but actually, you know, like, I don't want to be old-fashioned, but I don't think music is as good these days because I think they write it faster.
I would tend to agree.
Yeah, they're under more pressure. I think that artists were given a lot more freedom and license in those days. Well, that's what it felt like, hey?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe that was just that.
I think the competition is just rife right now. Yeah. But maybe it always was.
But that's, I mean, like, to give you a bit of background from my side, I'm, like, no way involved in art besides bits like this, right?
But also, you have been involved with other artists.
I have.
You're art adjacent.
I am. I circle.
You're a circle participant adjacent art.
I'm in the outer rung.
Yeah, you are. You're in the rung, hey?
Yeah. So, like, you must, like, for me, growing up, I didn't study art. If you were to ask me what art was, as naive as this sounds, I would have said painting. Okay,
yeah.
I still wouldn't be able to differentiate between watercolor and oil.
Would everyone, Asha. No one knows anything about art.
So for me, when I was presented with the first bit, the first piece we collaborated on, and it being something that was considered art, but it wasn't what I knew to be art, and I was like, you know, that's why, you know, we share the same thing, because I understood what you were trying to do. It's creating an energy. It's trying to get the viewer to engage with the piece the way you want them to pass the correct message.
Exactly.
You know?
And pop music is just, I mean, not only pop. I always say pop, but really the categories are broad.
Yeah.
Really, really broad, because I don't know, like for me, rap does so much as well. It does much. It really R&B, like I say pop, but I'm not only speaking about pop. But really what it is for me, why I like it so much as a medium, because I kind of feel like music is a medium I work with in my pieces. I'm not commenting on music. I have nothing to say about music, but it's a medium that the majority of people understand.
It's a universal language.
It is.
That without you having to add to it, people know exactly what you're talking about.
By default.
Exactly. If you say one song, people immediately know that song means this.
And art in every country, but art in this country is so exclusive and elitist. You know,
course.
Like we don't have an arts education in our educational programs, not really. If you haven't opted to take it.
If you'd spoken to me about medium, I would have thought that we were talking to dead people.
Exactly,
right?
and maybe we are. I'm not putting that past us, all right?
For my next piece.
take what you will. I mean, I did basically speak to dead people once in one of my artworks. but we won't go into that now. But yeah, I think music is wonderful because of the way it reaches so many people. And what I like specifically within music is how over the many, many, many years all the music that I listen to that goes back in history, artists are saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. These messages are just relayed and relayed and relayed and relayed.
Yeah.
Sometimes saying exactly the same thing, and sometimes just saying completely opposite things. And I think that there's so much meaning in that, in our world today, difference is really highlighted at the moment. The way in which we are different to each other, what makes us different. And I just think that in my own opinion, we have so much more in common with everyone on this planet than we have apart from them.
Of course.
We are so much more together than we are apart. And I think that you can read that through reading music over the ages.
Yeah.
So I like, in like a sentimental and more serious way, that's part of what I see in music. And it's part of the value is really reading our society through the words that we're using and through the emotions that we're expressing over and over and over again.
Yeah,
about love and peace and unity and hatred and strength.
Yeah.
Strength really, that really pulls us into the body of work that I've made for the Cape Town Art Fair, which is the title of which is Battle Cries on the Dance Floor.
Love. I mean, if there was anything more Rosie Mudge, it's that.
Battle Cries on the Dance Floor. And really, it came from quite an abstract place in myself and quite an abstract thought process I went through. This was something that I'd been running through my head before I was given the show. And then when I was given the show, I was like, oh, great. Now I can explore. Perfect opportunity. So it was a thought that I'd already had. And the thought went something like this. what it was I was thinking about how we as a global society are all the survivors of war. All of us. I'm not going to say none because I don't know all of history, right? you know, there's probably isn't a society in our world that hasn't undergone war. And
but even if you think about it in this day and age, even if, you know, your country is not in war, we are so bombarded with war everywhere else that it feels and it weighs just as heavy.
It weighs as heavy.
If no matter if we're talking, no matter what conflict it is, Yemen, yeah. Syria, Israel, Palestine.
War is all around us.
It's everywhere.
We have all come from a place of war, everyone. And I think that what I was thinking was, you know, I was kind of imagining the battlefields of the Middle Ages, I suppose. Let's just place it there because I suppose there's a lot of TV about that at the moment or over the last couple of years. So we all have those images in our head that the Middle Ages, maybe mixed with a bit of fantasy and battlefields, like we get it, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about people going into war and the chanting on the way to war, that there's this chanting that you do and the songs of war. And then I was thinking to myself, this energy that went into the bodies and went into the body memory was passed to us through our genes.
Generations and generations of
an energy, which I think maybe in places where there's no obvious war, that energy might be expressed through music and through dance and through club.
Of course.
And that might be a similar energy, the energy of dancing and celebration and the energy of war might have come from the same place. And then I was thinking about these dance tracks that permeate in your head and the way in a lot of them, women are crying out about their strength. I think my mind immediately went to Bulletproof by Sia. Bulletproof, nothing to lose, fire away, fire away. You know, to say that you are so strong that you can't be touched.
Yeah.
For me, what you're really saying is an expression of intense vulnerability, which is that I'm going to say I'm strong, but of course I'm posing.
Yes,
but you know,
I'm faking it till I'm making it.
Yeah. And so the balance between strength and fragility expressed through this kind of music was something that really intrigued me, and that's kind of where I've gone for this show. That little line, that little balance between strength and fragility. Displayed through music, particularly the music of women.
Yeah.
Even in Beyoncé's most recent album, God, I hope it's her most recent album. I can't fact check. I'm sorry, and I do not retain information. I've said it before. I don't mean to call myself dumb, but like, basically, Alien Superstar. You know. She says, forever I'm that girl and unique, that's what I am. She's putting forward an idea of herself that she's fighting for. She's fighting to believe it, and she's putting it forward in this way.
Something that like speaks quite big to me is female rappers.
Yes.
You know, like, I've been a massive fan of Missy Elliott.
Oh my gosh, like, don't even.
And right? Of, like, Lil' Kim and Eve from, like, I mean, I was, like, 13 years old doing my homework to them, right?
Of course.
And for me, I've always resonated with a female MC more than I've to a male MC purely because of the strength and that...
Yes.
Fragility that comes through in their work because they had to fight so hard to be seen as equals within that same, you know, male-dominated industry.
And it's just, the thing about it is that it is just not gone. It's still like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's still here. And that's why I just think it's something that's so interesting to explore is the fact that it is still, look, women make up 50% of our population. That's a huge, huge number of people to still not be
what's crazy for me is that everyone comes from a woman.
Yes.
Yet.
Yeah. Yet I mean, there's another thing.
Yeah, yet we treat them less than.
And, you know, I became a mother 2 years ago. And being pregnant and then having a newborn baby and now having a child has completely transformed the way in which I understand our society.
Yeah.
It transformed it. To take like a more serious note, I went to, when my daughter was 30 days old, I hadn't been able to register her birth with Home Affairs at the hospital, which is something that is often on offer, because at the time it was COVID and they weren't able to send people in.
Okay.
So that means you have to go to Home Affairs and you have to go and register there. It was the last day of, because you have to do it before they're 30 days old.
Okay.
It was, otherwise, there are other ways to do it, but it's more complicated. And it was the last day of that ability, and I was there with my husband and my baby, and it was the stormiest day you have ever seen. It was pouring with rain. It was Cape Town wind on form. It was throwing down on that barrack street. And I was looking at this line thinking, how is it possible that I have to stand in an eight-hour line with my newborn baby in these conditions? And I looked at how many women there were in that line with babies and how many women were in that line very, very pregnant. And I thought, what kind of society is this that doesn't protect these people, that doesn't pull them aside out of a line and go like, you don't have to be in this line because you need protection right now. You have just undergone, I mean, you know, some people have cesareans and you've undergone major surgery.
Yeah, it's huge.
Huge things. Or the elderly, you know, having the elderly stand in lines like that. The society that we live in is crazy.
I mean,
and
it's
absurd.
A broken system.
But something like that for me, like, I'm like, how easy would that be to fix?
Yeah.
That's a matter of
it's
like,
as simple
that's
as
a flipping email.
Yeah,
you know?
It's as simple as we're creating a new queue.
There's a different queue for moms. And I heard, because now I'm on, now that I'm a mom, I'm on like 50 mom groups.
I believe that's what happens.
I get about 1,000 WhatsApps a day and I read them all. No, I skim.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you can't contain information.
I skim. And I don't have alerts on my phone. So I'm free of technology for the most part, but I do participate. So I'm on like 50 moms groups, and I don't know everyone on these groups. They're strangers and they're vast and wide from all over Cape Town. And sometimes the stories that I hear on there are just crazy, crazy stuff. Like this one mom said that she was 9 months pregnant and had to stand in that queue for 8 hours. And they don't let you use the bathroom facilities in the building. And you can't leave the queue to go use the bathroom facilities anywhere else. And for anyone who has been pregnant, you have to go to the loo all the time. Your bladder is like just a thing of the past.
I mean, you've literally got pressure on your bladder 24/7.
Yeah, and so much more liquid in your body to begin with. And I just think, like, that's a crazy thing. Surely we can fix this, you know? And so, you know, obviously all these stories, they do pour into my art. My sensibilities, my art is not free of me entirely. You know, it's not a direct, it's not a word for word translation of who I am. There's a lot of society that goes into it. But you're not free of your own personality. It's going to rub off.
Yeah. There's going to be bits of rose. There's going to be bits of glitter in the work.
Exactly. So, you know, like, I use glitter and I use, like, I mean, I'm obsessed with what is tacky and kitsch. I always have been. It is an obsession of mine.
Well, this, I say, I love kitsch too.
I love kitsch. I mean, that's what draws us together.
I know. I think that's why we love each other. But, you know, like, I think that's also what kind of really, you know, intrigues people by your work. Because from afar, you're seeing these, like, sparkly, gorgeous, you know, kitsch kind
girly,
of...
girly, like, bright colours,
exactly.
Happiness and joy,
exactly.
And, like, tranquility.
And then you walk a little closer, and then you see there's some lyrics, you know, or, you know, there's just something that's a little bit deeper or a bit more meaningful that we're having, you know, that you're just trying to touch on.
Yeah, exactly.
But it draws you in with that, like a moth to a flame.
It lures you in, exactly.
With that
sparkly
glitter.
That was my interview that I did this morning on national television live, where my feed froze while I was waiting to be interviewed. So I knew the presenter was asking me a question, and I knew I wasn't hearing the question. And I was sitting there wringing my hands, thinking to myself, you just keep smiling. Because if you drop that smile, they're gonna freeze your face, sort of like something super ugly, and the whole of South Africa is gonna see you making some horrible face, and still not answering the question. So at least if you're smiling, you'll be smiling through disaster.
Exactly.
And keep it going. And after the interview, my friend said, "Oh, it's a pity you were glitching." And I was really interested in what you were saying. And I thought to myself, you know what? It's fine. I'll lure them in with my pretty face and then want them, keep them coming back for more with my information. If you can't hear it, you have to come back later.
Well, that's exactly what you do. People get drawn to your work. And I think also like with our collaboration, it's you allow them to engage with your work in a different way, but also like in a way that you want, that gets the correct message across, or the message you want across.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we, the last two times we collaborated,
I think we should mention them. I think we should actually give a rounded out version of what those two times were, because I really loved them and the experiences
what was crazy for me. So let's talk about the first one.
I think the first one, yeah.
You had created this beautiful sunset.
It was a domed canvas, 2.8 meters wide by about 2 meters high. A domed, what is that called when it goes like that? It's like a semicircle,
yes,
right?
Yeah, semicircle.
Sorry, I can't think of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But semicircle in these beautiful hot pinks to
and oranges. And sparkly too.
Yes,
let's not forget the glitter.
And the title of the work was The Way, and then in brackets, Havana. Because that brings us into music once again. This was the precursor to even putting lyrics into my actual songs.
I know, but even if we go right down to the very beginning,
there was always music. Yeah. But basically, then this was exhibited with the Smith Summer Show of I think it was 2019, could have been 2018.
Yeah, I think it was around there for sure.
And the Smith Summer Show, and it was put on, and I thought I really wanted. I had a performance in mind, which I really, really wanted to do with the show. And like, this is one of the things that is it's just so wonderful about Asher, is I will send him a message and say, Asher, I've had this idea and I see you in it. Asher is a muse of mine. I make work around his energy. And for me, I could never have done this performance myself. That is not who I am. I don't outwardly portray, like my art. Sorry, that was a good sentence. I don't visually portray like my art. So there are some artists who really, really visually match their art. They make their art in the same way that they make their fashion. That's just not who I am. But my medium comes out, and it comes out in other people sometimes. And so for me, to have Asher sort of part of that and projecting,
what I'm
trying to get across in a body that projects in the way that I associate with.
I'm almost like a guide, a spirit guide.
A spirit guide. We can definitely call it a spirit guide.
I'm almost like, when it comes to people who are watching your show, I make sure that they are
guided through it,
so that they're getting that full experience of the energy you're wanting to get across.
So what it was, it was a cocktail bar in the style of
tiki.
It was a tiki bar, and it was on the corner of the painting. And Asher was there, and I just the sort of the costume, if you could call it that we discussed, was kind of Leonardo DiCaprio in Romeo and Juliet.
That's Leonardo's Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly. That was the aesthetic, you know. I just saw it, and Asher came. He had
tropical shirt,
the necklace, but it was also, he had a blue metallic chipped nail polish, which for me was just the absolute best.
Icing on the cake.
And then basically what it was, Asher was the barman, and he created, I think it was Tequila Sunrises?
Yes.
Right? It was definitely of that aesthetic. Drinks for people. There were virgin options available,
yes.
FYI. And he created those, and he was wearing headphones, which were playing the song Havana.
Correct.
By Camila someone.
Cabello.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce
I don't know.
Her surname?
I don't know. I didn't. I'm sorry. I should have written it down. And then the participant would go up to the bar. Asher would put the headphones on at the same time as the participant. So they
Correct.
Were both listening to the same song at the same time. He he would make them their drink, and they would sit on a beach chair in front of
the piece,
and they would drink their drink and experience the transportation of going.
You were sitting on a beach chair, looking in front of
at the sunset,
yeah. While you're listening to Havana, drinking a cocktail.
And that performance was called "Let Me Take You There." And I do sometimes feel that my works act as a kind of transportation device. Transportation devices has always been something that you can call it a portal.
Yeah.
You can call it. I like transportation device personally. Yeah.
what was really interesting for me, like I said, as we discussed, I'm art adjacent, so I have a full-time job, and I remember being like super busy coming straight from work. There was a potential that I was going to have to go back to the office after
this. Asha works really hard, I just have to say it.
And so I like told workers, like, no, I've got to go do this thing. It was a first Thursday. So it was pumping. Okay, the gallery was pumping. It was hot. And, you know, like, I'm stressed, I'm sweaty, I've arrived, and I immediately make like over 100 cocktails. Okay, I'm literally there, there was a queue by that tiki box.
Believe it, because performance is oftenly like hit and miss in the art world, right? It's kind of embarrassing for a lot of people. But I couldn't believe the amount of engagement.
People wanted to experience it the way you had intended it to be experienced.
And for me, the thing that I honestly couldn't believe was that people sat through the entire song.
Literally.
I don't know if one person got up and walked away.
And I couldn't believe it. And what was insane for me, so obviously I come in as a collaborator with you. So
yes.
For me, this is a service I do.
Yes.
You know, I'm helping. But what surprised me was that
I just have to say, you're bringing something I can't.
No, of course.
I don't have it in me. I have it in me, but I don't have it out in
me. Well, I mean, it's definitely your concept, and then I just help bring it to
no,
the
no,
light.
You collaborate, absolutely.
But what was really surprising for me, because like I said, I'm there stressed, and I'm focused on making the cocktails correctly, you know, and making sure that the people are having the experience, because I too was wearing these headphones.
Exactly. You were
right?
There.
They were noise cancelling as
well.
Yeah,
they were noise cancelling.
So you
only the best.
So you couldn't hear, even though the gallery was packed,
yeah.
You couldn't hear a single person. And when I put those headphones on, because I'm listening to the exact same song at the exact same time as the person engaging with the work, it was like I too was right there on the beach with them.
Isn't that amazing?
Listening, like serving them their cocktail. I felt like
you
I wasn't
there.
In the gallery.
Yeah,
I wasn't at Smith. I was in Cubana.
I couldn't believe the reception to that work because honestly, I saw someone in tears.
Yes,
I saw,
there was, that was like people reacted very differently.
Yeah, and strongly.
People, like as you said, some people were moved to tears.
Yeah.
Other people were just like letting go of things, you know, like people were breathing sighs of relief. It was 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes
yeah.
of complete like removal from not even just your immediate surroundings
yeah.
being the very busy, hot Smith Gallery at the time. But then also just getting out of your head, getting
yeah.
out of the world and just being able to be present.
Exactly.
With what is right in front of you. And can I tell you something? I've never seen any other artist, you know, you created a space where you literally sat in front of your work for 4 minutes.
Immersive.
And you're having
yeah.
to
Immersive.
Engage with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or
willingly engage with it, hopefully.
No, of course.
Yeah,
like I said, there was a
yes.
queue.
There was a queue.
People were
not just taking the cocktails and bouncing.
No.
Which is what surprised me, because
yeah.
I was like,
No, I wasn't making you a cocktail unless you were sitting down in the chair and listening to the song with me.
Yeah.
So it's suffice to say, I've never listened to that song again. I think I had it on repeat that
Honestly,
day.
I can listen to a song on repeat for a few days at a time, because I hear different things. Like
yeah.
each time I listen to it, I'm listening to, okay, now I'm listening to the drums, and like I basically isolate out the drums.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
then I'm listening to the electric guitar, because electric guitar is possibly one of my favorite sounds in the whole world. And then I'm listening to the lyrics, and then I'll get flipping obsessed with like one part of the song, and I will just only play that part
yeah.
over and over and over and over again. So there's like a compulsion and an obsession that
yeah.
sets in with me and music, a feeling, a specific feeling.
Yeah, no, it is, because that's what it created.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like I said, because I was on you know, on the collaboration side with you, it took me by a big surprise. I too was impacted by the work. I still remember texting you the very next day.
Going, I know, I remember. I was like, we need to write about this. Yeah. But obviously, like, I never do anything that's not in the moment. So like...
And look, here, like, we're talking about
no,
it.
No, right? Exactly. So, like, it came out eventually, right?
Yeah. I'm like... But it was something that took me by surprise because I wasn't, you know, I didn't go there... planning to engage, I mean, obviously, you know, to engage with the
work.
Well,
you didn't know you would.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even on the other side, you know, like, I was also having connections with these people.
Isn't it amazing?
Like,
yeah.
Just because you and I were just the only two in this world.
Yeah.
It was like, it was crazy. The moment those headphones went on, it was like, I don't remember seeing anybody else in the gallery besides the person that was sitting in the beach chair in front of the sunset. And as I was bringing them,
it was just like,
cocktail,
I know,
it was
poetic. It was really
it was
lovely.
Really
I couldn't have wanted more for that piece.
It was one of my favorites.
Yeah. And then the most recent one that Asha did was just wonderful as well. That was called The Cave.
The Cave. Okay, so you got to give backstory to The Cave.
Oh, okay, where do I start? Okay, first of all, the title, The Cave. So for those of you who do not know, I grew up in Plettenberg Bay. I was kind of in the 90s, let's say, I was a child. So I was like, you know, 19... Oh, okay, let's make it specific. 1998, I was 10 years old. And we grew up underneath a very, very prominent rave culture. Because all of the 16, 18, 24-year-olds, rave was hot and heavy in Plett at that time.
In the 90s, for sure.
Exactly. There was a place called The Cave, which unfortunately closed down before I came of age, or even anywhere near of age. So it's remained a myth in my life. And The Cave was the only nightclub, I think, in Plett at all. And it was where everyone went. So everyone who went on Matric Rage or Matric Rave, as it used to be called, the Cave was the place to go. So it was this phenomenal venue. And I had older siblings. My siblings are 10 years older than me, roughly. So I really engaged in that space when I was really, really young. And
created your own in the garage.
Yeah,
with all of your friends.
We did. We used to have rave parties. That was our birthday party of choice. Was these rave parties? We'd have, I remember, helium balloons with streamers. Like we hired strobe lights. We
so
had the bump CDs, right? Because it was CD players back then. You just put on the bump CD. And that would just play through.
Yeah. No skipping songs.
No skipping songs, although the CDs could skip sometimes. I think now, there was probably now one. But, you know, we're talking about Alice DJ, Better Off Alone, Blue Dubba Dee Dubba Die by Eiffel 65. Those were the songs and these little children raving along to them was quite beautiful. And... So those are kind of my memories and the associations that I have with that music at that time. And the freedom that came with it, you know.
Of course. I guess also, as we were talking about earlier, that nostalgic moment of listening and the endorphins that are being released at that specific moment in your life at that specific time.
And the association with childhood means that the other associations that come with being a teenager and being maybe a young woman were not present.
Yeah.
So there was
conversations were different back then.
Yeah, there was no sexiness, there was no sexualization, although, you know, that's not to get into heaviness, but, you know, things were quite different. And so that's where that title comes from, The Cave. And so this performance was essentially a combination of karaoke, a kind of a karaoke experience, but a private, isolated experience of shower singing or bedroom singing. That was kind of what I wanted to draw together. I wanted to create a space that was essentially a safe space, a really dark room, huge, loud sound, and an immersive experience where you could go in.
And a hairbrush for a microphone.
A hairbrush for a microphone,
I'll
of course,
have you know.
Right?
Yeah.
And a room where you could go in and you could experience these flashing lights, all the joys of kind of a club environment with none of the drawbacks, none of the danger, and none of the potential hostility that, that comes with it. And you could have this private, personalized experience of, I think, I, you know, when it came down to it, because we had the lyrics up on the wall, and they were also, I had a huge, the wall was completely covered in glitter as well. So the lyrics themselves were shining, and there was beautiful colored light flashing around and shining, and look, it was a hugely energizing space.
It was.
I came out of that space thinking that, well, not thinking, because I knew I wasn't, but feeling like I was completely high.
Yeah, you almost felt, as, literally, you're buzzing.
You're buzzing.
You're almost rejuvenated, because, you know, like, so the idea behind it was, my collaborative aspect was, I was the bouncer.
He was the bouncer. Asher was the bouncer. He was the, because if you're going to have a, if you're going to have a safe space, someone needs to keep it safe.
So I was standing in front of the cave, and if you wanted to engage in the work, I would let you into the room, close the door, you know, walk you through, give you your microphone, aka the hairbrush.
Yes.
And, you know, you would choose your song, I'd push play, and I would close the door and leave you to your own devices.
Yes.
And I then would prevent anyone else from disturbing you, from peeking in.
Yeah, because privacy was a huge part of it.
So exactly. We wanted you to be completely uninhibited. Mm. We wanted you to get to that place of you're singing in the shower.
Your freedom.
You're dancing.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a towel on your head as you're getting ready
you're
to go out
singing really loud because no one can hear you.
Dancing,
and it doesn't
like
matter what your
watching.
Voice sounds like. Yeah.
Exactly.
But this is one of the things about sound and noise making. I'm not going to call it singing because it doesn't need to be beautiful or nice. It's about extending your body past your body boundary. And the voice is one of the ways in which we do that. The voice and the physical body. When you jump, when you express, when you vocalize,
you're exuding,
pushing your own self beyond your physical self.
Yeah, you're exuding energy, and also like when you vocalize something, mm-hmm. when you jump, for instance, mm-hmm. you're taking something that was maybe a thought and putting it into the physical, which then creates a reaction.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So you're now it's not just an idea or a concept. Now you've put it out into the universe.
And it's gone beyond you.
Exactly.
It's gone beyond
you. It's left you now.
It's
and
left
it's,
you.
It creates ripples and it creates an effect.
You know, that's art making as well. Art making is a really weird, crazy thing that we artists do. You have feelings. You have visuals that are running around you maybe. And you create something out of them, and then off it goes.
Yeah.
You know, goodbye, goodbye forever.
Yeah.
Usually,
well, I mean, it affects other people then once it's left you.
And
know,
that's
like
what
that
is what's so beautiful for me about art making. I can't believe it. I mean, I
it's no longer yours. It's now yours to share.
I run my practice in a way which is the only way I can run it, which is that the work I make is made for myself. It's made for me, all of it.
Yeah,
And that may sound super selfish and maybe self-obsessed, but I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that because the amount of people who've come to me over the years and told me about how a work reached them or touched them or took them somewhere has been so rewarding for me. I can't believe it.
No,
I mean,
I've seen it with my own eyes every time we collaborate.
I would never try and make something for someone else. It's made for me. It's so personal. It's so deeply personal. And I think that's why I really, really struggle to write about my work because, God, it's like opening your diary up to like anyone to read. It's so deeply embarrassing.
For me, it's like, where would you even start to write any work? All I would say to people is come and experience it for yourself.
I love talking about work because talking is so fluid and you're usually in conversation, which means someone else is giving as well.
Yeah.
When you're writing, it's all coming from you, and it just seems deeply embarrassing to me.
I mean, that was also what was like, so compared to the previous one we collaborated on, this one was also very surprising for me to watch people, because, right, you'd expect a certain kind of person to engage in the work,
You'd expect a certain kind of person to engage, particularly given the songs, which were like,
Survivor.
There was definitely Survivor, there was NSYNC with, what was it?
Wasn't it? Was it Bye 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 No?
It was It's gonna be May. Yeah. I think it was that one, right? Oh, and then of course JoJo, Get Out.
Leave, Get Out.
JoJo, Get Out. And these were all songs which featured in my body of work that I was presenting, my solo exhibition. They all came from there. So it was really like an entry point into the body of work. Like, let's explore these, explore these memories and these experiences in a different way. Like, here and they are in one version, and here it is in another version.
Yeah. And for me, like I said, you'd expect, for lack of a better word, an extrovert, if you will, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, someone who's willing to go, okay, cool, yeah, let me close myself in this room, grab hold of this hairbrush,
yeah,
and like sing a song. But it was so interesting for me to see some people that I would have never pegged to go inside that room and engage with that piece the way that they did. And, you know, some people went in as couples, some people went in alone, but that was like, there was never really more than a couple, or if you know, if you were,
yes,
a family, you went in together kind of a thing.
Yes.
But it was just really interesting to see some, you know, people that, you know, locals, internationals,
I would children, little
just,
children,
just
like,
close them in, and then they would go and have the best 4 minutes of it. There was dancing, there,
yes,
was jumping.
I mean, I set that up as a solo experience because, you know, working in my studio, I am solo, and I experience things solo kind of a lot. I mean, when you work for yourself and you employ no one, it's a lot of alone time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of alone time. And so I experience a lot of solitude, not in a negative way, just in a way.
Yeah.
So I kind of set it up as a solo experience, but then there were groups that went in, and I don't police stuff like that because
no, of course.
I have a loose kind of feeling that
things
anything
be,
goes,
things
right?
Things gotta be organic.
Yeah, organic. I kind of do follow a kind of organic situation. And I went in there with a group of girls who I crush on so hard and had the most magical experience.
No, it was really,
them.
And I think that's what, like, you know, part of, you know, like, being alone in that room, yes, you're singing to a song, whether it's Destiny's Child or NSYNC, and you're there by yourself. But when you're there by yourself in that room, you could not dance, you can stand there,
yeah,
you can
no
do
one's watching.
Yes, right? And you can
no
do
one will
absolutely
know.
Nothing. But
yeah,
you saw people going, okay, well, what if I dance? And what if I sang? And
yeah,
you saw them connect with themselves in a way that they, you know, maybe necessarily wouldn't connect otherwise.
Absolutely.
And
my work definitely, it definitely does, it does enter that zone of self-connection.
Exactly. So not only are you engaging with the work,
but
you're connecting, you're engaging with yourself.
Yeah, engaging with yourself. And then,
how far are you willing to push yourself?
Yeah. I mean,
right?
What I love about this is, I'm going to say it again, I've probably already basically said this, but what I love about music all over the world is that music can touch you and hit you so hard that you feel like something was written for you.
Yeah.
And you feel such a deep connection with the artist who made it that you actually feel like you're touching them, that you know them, that they're touching you.
That they're your best friends.
And then just map that out across the whole world and think of everyone having this physical experience with each other, because we're all feeling that way. We're all feeling the same, and that connection actually, in my opinion, like, draws you together and places you within a society. And, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with anxiety and isolation in today's age.
And look, this literally came right after the second collaboration. It was after COVID.
It was after COVID,
where people were stuck,
yeah,
at home and stuck in their houses,
yeah,
and forced to be isolated. And, you know,
yeah,
I guess there was a lot of singing with hairbrushes and dancing around just to keep yourself entertained.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also love, like, you know, like, I mean, we speak about music being like a running theme throughout your work. But I also just even love how, like, that piece that we did, The Cave, and how this piece that you're doing now, Battle Cries,
yes,
it can even be linked, because that same kind of energy you were left to, in the, you know, the vocal singing,
yeah,
the jumping and the dancing, can almost, this is like, you know,
I think, you know what it is?
It's a natural progression that we're now, it's a war cry.
It's a war cry. Yeah, it's a war cry. And what I love, I mean, I didn't think of this, so I'm not going to take credit for it. One of the people from the gallery, Smack, that I'm with, that I have the privilege to be represented by, because I know you're listening. they said that because I was, you know, I was going over words that I was using in this title, and instead of war, they liked battle. I mean, I loved battle, but they liked battle because they said battle is broad. You know, we battle many things. And a lot of people battle isolation, anxiety.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It's lovely when you hit on a word that actually resonates with you in various ways and really transports you.
It's exciting.
It's exciting. And I think, you know, my practice for me, the common thread that I can see running through my practice, because, you know, I don't really talk that much about the glitter. For me, I mean, the glitter is like a medium and it's sparkly and it's cute, yeah? But there's so much more running through my practice for me. One of the things that really runs through for me is this continuation towards the light, this continuation towards being resilient and just deciding I'm looking forward.
Yeah.
I'm looking towards and I'm not necessarily looking back.
Yeah.
Because
and I think that's
we need to propel ourselves forward at all times. It's a keep moving, keep going forward, push yourself in strength, come back day after day with relentless positivity so that we can continue.
Yeah, and like being battle cry,
You're preparing to fight.
Yeah, you're preparing to fight.
At all times.
And you actually have to. Yeah.
There are so many instances in your day-to-day life that may seem small and insubstantial, but if you're not standing up for yourself, mm-hmm. if you're not putting your foot down in a gentle, nice way, and saying, this is what I'm prepared to do. This is what it is for me. You need to be standing up for yourself. Right. So at the Joburg Art Fair, I made a work, which was from obviously NSYNC, because how can you not? It's a painting which says, it's going to be me. And if you take that into the fine art or contemporary art context, you know, I mean, I can't believe that I'm here. I can't believe that I'm gallery represented, that I'm having a solo booth on the Cape Town Art Fair. These are things that dreams are made of, right? Like, how lucky.
Yeah. Exactly.
How lucky that I get to live this dream of mine. And I think that throughout my day-to-day and throughout my practice, there's just a continual putting myself out there in a way that says, I'm going to make it. My last solo exhibition, I had a 9-panel artwork which was based around the song Survivor by Destiny's Child. The lyrics, the lyrics of which, and I'm going to get this wrong, so no corrections, thanks. I can look it up online as well.
I can also Google it
when I've got something in front of me. I'm a survivor. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. Fuck, I'm already fucking it up. Whatever. You all know, right?
It doesn't matter what order it is.
Repeat. I'm a survivor. I'm going to get this, you know? I think that this is not specific to women alone, but I think for me, I am a woman, right? So that is my lens.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my lens. So that's how I speak. You've got to get up day after day after day. And you've got to say, It's going to be me.
Look,
it's not going to be someone else.
Can I tell you something? No one else is going to be looking out for you besides yourself. So
right.
if you're not willing to fight for yourself, then how can you expect anyone else to as well?
Exactly.
So you've got to put yourself forward and you've got to put on your battle clothes.
And
you've got to put on your battle cry.
And as a woman, you've got to do it prettily.
Full of glitter.
As a woman, you know, like this, Alanis sorted this out for us in the 90s a little bit, but you know, that the angry woman, it did sell. It sells, right? But you can, I think still, even today, like it's so much, people accept you so much more if you are doing it with a smile than if you're doing it with a grimace. Even if what you are doing is sticking up for yourself in a way which you deserve, you've still got to do it joyously.
Yeah.
Well, for me. And also, I believe in living a joyous life.
No, me too.
It's what I believe
life
in.
Life is hard enough as it is.
You got to live through joy. So,
yeah.
So that comes out as well.
No, it's great. It's great to see. And I think It's definitely something I'm looking forward to, this new show of yours.
I can't wait. Did I tell you about my chains?
No.
So, oh my gosh, my chains. I am so happy. I've been doing these beaded beaded curtains. Let's call them what they are. They're beaded curtains,
it's
right?
It's so good. Reminds of the cup, Britney Spears album
yes!
cover.
Oh my gosh, definitely. So that's part of the inspiration. It's also that teenage bedroom
yes,
aesthetic.
Everything I do
draws from that teenage bedroom, that personal space, that transformative, transportative area in a teenager's life. Girl, maybe, I don't know. Not only anymore, but when I was young, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You have these, so it's a gateway, right? It's an entry point and it's a gateway. And I have had these beaded curtains in my practice coming out, and I've recently introduced chains
okay.
into it. And I'm so excited
about
it.
So I knew about
it.
The beads, I didn't know
you didn't
about
know about
the chains.
So chains, okay. I mean, like, you've got like all the association of what a chain is.
Oh, wow, yes.
You've got, it's lovely. Anyway, super excited about that. Can't wait for you all to see it, dear listeners.
So let's talk about that. Where can we see it? When can we see it?
So it's going to be up at the Cape Town Art Fair. I've got a solo booth in the Today Tomorrow section. You can't miss the section because the entire section is in pink.
Stunning.
In the middle of the art fair. I think, you know what? My booth might be number 00L10. I mean, maybe. I could be remixing because don't keep information is the theme of this podcast. Yeah, Cape Town Art Fair opens. The VIP opening is on, because you'll all be VIP, I'm sure. VIP opening is on the 16th of February. Thursday the 16th, and then it's open to the public. Y'all scummies. Actually, I retract that. Beep it out. That's going to be on the Friday the 17th through the weekend. So last day is on the Sunday.
And it's happening at the Cape Town.
Cape Town, the Investec Cape Town Art Fair.
At the convention center.
The CTICC.
There we go.
So come along and enjoy the fair. There's lots of amazing art to be seen. And you can see this little body of work of mine and have a jol.
And hopefully you'll get to see us there too.
And definitely Asha. We're not going to lie. You'll come for Asha. You'll come for Asha. You'll stay for the art.
Come for Asha. Stay for the pink.
All right, guys. Well, Asha, it's been lovely to have you over. Thank
Rosie,
you so much.
It is always a pleasure and an honor.
I just
I really
love you.
It.
Thank you for doing this.
And I love you too.
Aw. Kisses.